Take your Bibles out. Go with me tonight to the book of Revelation. And we're going to start in chapter 6, but tonight we're going to jump. That's perfect. We're going to jump quickly to chapter 7. We're going to start in chapter 6, and we're going to go quickly to chapter 7. As they're collecting the buckets tonight, and you're finding your seats and things of that nature, let me tell you about a couple things. Sunday morning, somebody walked up to me. He'll know who he is. It's one of our members. Walked up and said, "Pastor, I've got a great idea for a sermon series. I really feel like you ought to do a sermon series on this." And he gave it to me on a card. And I said, "Well, I'll definitely pray about that and think about that." And I walked out. I went home and I looked at the card. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is the word of the Lord." And so Sunday morning, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to do a series entitled One. And I think it'll be something that'll be a blessing to you. So that's going to be this coming Sunday. We're going to start that. I need your prayers tonight, immediately after I get out of here. So you're going to have to forgive me if I don't stick around for a long time, shake people's hands. I have to be at an airport at 8:15 to get on a plane because I've got to be in Columbus, Ohio tonight. Because in the morning, I got to preach World Harvest Church tomorrow morning for Pastor Parsley. So I'll be there and having meetings. I will be back tomorrow night. So I'm flying there and then turn around flying back. Thanks to Rick Richter. I've twisted his arm and going to give him a little money. And he'll fly me there and fly me back. I used to make fun of everybody who had these planes. Now I'm saying, "Lord, forgive me for making fun of all those people who have planes and give me one, please, Jesus. Give me one so I don't have to." Because last week we went to Alamosa, Colorado, as I told you. Well, what I didn't tell you is we got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to Nashville to catch a plane flight that was going to fly directly into Alamosa, Colorado. I was supposed to speak Monday night. And I get a text message at, 5 that said, "Your flights have all been canceled." Not just the Nashville flight, all the flights had been canceled. They said it was because of weather, and then I looked at the weather, and there was no weather. And so I called somebody else. They said, "No, it had nothing to do with the weather. They don't have a crew to fly the plane." And so anyway, that put us in a real pickle. Because I had to be there that night, and I was preaching, I mean, literally doing something Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday before I come back home. And so, anyway, long story short, we got tickets on Southwest, and we were able to fly directly into Denver. Now, it's a four-hour drive from Denver down to the church. So we flew into Denver after we got piled on this plane like sardines in a can without a lid. It was the closest thing to hell on earth that a person could go through, right? So, I mean, I'm sitting by Pam and I'm still uncomfortable. Both of us sitting there like it's right here, you know. So anyway, we finally get to Denver, and it was, thank God, we finally made it. We can get in a car and we can drive. We go to the rental car place and they tell us it's going to take almost 2 hours to get a rental car because they oversell rental cars now. So basically, even though you've paid for a rental car, what you have to do is set in the rental car company. And you have to wait for other people to come in for their flight, and you just wait your time. And so if there's 100 people in front of you, you wait for 100 other people to come catch a plane and turn in their car. And so I just want to tell you, I did ask the Lord to forgive me for all the things that I was thinking and saying. I know that you guys are much more sanctified than me, and you're so holy, but Pam will tell you, I don't know what it is. I think there are like travel devils, seriously, that have been assigned to my life that try to stop me from getting anywhere. So anyway, we finally got there. We had a good time. But so whenever Rick Richter says, "I'll fly you," I said, "Lord, may the plane gods of heaven above bless that man for flying me in there, because there's no other." Had he not been willing to do that tonight, I would have walked out of the pulpit and drove 6.5 hours to Columbus tonight. So, huh? What?
Put him on a retainer.
Yeah, I need it. I got him on a retainer. He's just not wanting to maintain the retention. So anyway, we're trying to keep him on a retainer. All right, let's go to the book of Revelation, guys. I'm ready to teach. We're going to jump into some things tonight. I'm going to start by reading Revelation 7. I will come back to Revelation 6. And I just, again, want to say thank you to Pastor Steve. A couple of weeks ago, did an amazing job on Wednesday night talking about judgment. And then Adam did an amazing job last Wednesday night dealing with the four horses of the apocalypse, which is, in my opinion, probably one of the harder passages in the book of Revelation to deal with. There's a lot of information in there, and it's hard to put it into a message, right? So tonight, we're actually going to get from Revelation 6 into Revelation 7. And what this is going to do is this is going to speed up now for a few weeks, because all we're dealing with is judgments that are coming. And there's only so many ways you can say hell is killing everybody. All right. So, I mean, there's only so many ways you can talk about, food shortages and things of that nature. But we'll highlight some of that stuff. But our point is to get to the revelation of Christ in the midst of all of this. Okay, so let's look at Revelation chapter 7 together. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. Stop right there. Look right here. Somebody came up to me earlier tonight, not because they believe this, but they were having a discussion with somebody else. He said, Pastor, Revelation 7 says there's four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. Is the earth flat? I said, no, sir. The earth is not flat. However, you would be shocked at how many people right now really believe that the earth is flat. Those people have never taken a long plane trip where they fly at 40,000 feet to see the curvature of the earth. If they'll just take a long plane trip, they'll see it's not flat. All right. Sure, just sure as I say that, somebody in here is going to say, well, I can't believe it. I thought the earth was flat. But anyway, so four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. The wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east. Very important that you remember this or highlight this. Having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, the trees, until. And this is something that Steve talked about a little bit. Adam talked about last night or last Wednesday night. Until, hold off on all of this destruction until, right? Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 124,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Now, I'm not going to read verses 5, 6, and 7. You can do that. It just lists 12 different tribes. However, there is one thing that I am going to point out to you in verse number 6. Notice that the tribe of Manasseh is listed in here. And we'll deal with that here in just a little bit. Now, let's go over to verse number 9. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, out of all the nations, tribes, people, tongues, standing before the throne of God, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, to the Lamb. And all of the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne of God, and they worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who came out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. All right. Turn back over to Revelation chapter 6. Now, I've really debated about, I told Steve this earlier, I've really debated about going public with this and sharing what I'm about to share with you. We're in unprecedented times in the earth right now. something is up. I don't know if you guys feel it or not, but it's really strange. Would you say this is strange season that we're in? It's almost like the Bible records a foot out of joint. I can walk on it, but it's not right. It's like a foot out of joint. For me, that's how this whole season has felt the last couple of years. I believe that it is training us for things that are coming on the earth. Obviously, from the Word of God, things are going to wax worse and worse. Evil men will wax worse and worse. Now, in the midst of that, the people of God have got to hold on to hope. We've got to have the life of God in us. We cannot be overcome by despair or depression. And the reason I'm saying this is because in a moment we're going to get into the thick of the beginning of the tribulation period, and we're going to see a lot of terrible things that is coming. And I want you to remember, the book is not about these events, even though it tells us what's going to happen. The book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not about the Antichrist, not the false prophet, not even all the judgment, not about all the people who die. It's about the fact. Really, in Revelation chapter 4 is almost an apex moment in the whole book, because it is about the Lion of the Tribe of Judah taking ownership with that deed of the earth that belongs to him. For the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Are you guys following with me? So things are going to come on the earth. Now, the Bible calls this book a more sure word of prophecy, right? We also know that the prophetic moves through people, in that God can give prophetic insight about the future to human beings by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In fact, one of the promises of the Holy Spirit, the guarantees of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is he will show you things to come. Say that out loud with me. He will show you things to come. So from that, we ought to be very prophetic people, in that we have a sense about the future. Now, we might, when we prophesy or we get glimpses about the future, the Bible says we prophesy in part. This is the reason the body of Christ is so important and the unity of the body is so important. Because it could be that God will give me a glimpse and it'll be a part of what's going to happen in the future. And he might give him a glimpse and it'll be another part. And we have to put all of those parts together to make the picture. So I believe one of the things, and we'll talk about this Sunday, one of the strategies of the devil in the last day is to cause great division in the body of Christ. Because you can't conquer if you can't divide. Jesus taught this. Every kingdom, every house, every city divided against itself cannot stand. Even Satan divided against itself. The kingdom of hell cannot work without unity. So we're going to talk about that Sunday morning. But the reason I'm telling you that is because I just recently had an experience about 2 weeks ago that troubled me deeply. Now, those of you who are family here, you know that back in 2012, the Lord gave me an open vision. This is the only open vision I've ever had. I really am very leery about people who say they have a vision every time the sun comes up. Right? Now, I do believe that some people are saying that, and what their meaning is God's giving them a sense of what's coming. But I'm very careful in that I don't want to say I had a vision. Because there's no biblical pattern of people having visions every day and every week. There's no biblical pattern. So I'm very leery of that. If you believe in that, so be it. I'm not going to argue with it. I'm just telling you where I'm at personally. So in 2012, I had what I'm going to call a terrifying vision. I was caught up in this vision. I was awake. I was not asleep. And God began to show me what was coming. And when this vision unfolded, and all this is, a lot of it is recorded in my book, The Last Days of America. By the way, you can go online and get it on the website, shanewarren.org. It's free download. Just download it and read it for those that are watching. And in this vision, I saw a lot of things happening. I saw division in America. I saw destruction in America. I saw the collapse of the dollar. I saw it unfolding in a timeline. When I got to the end of the vision, the Lord spoke to me and said, all of this is going to start in November of 2020. Now, this is in 2012. So 8 years prior to this, the Lord speaks to me and says, November 2020 will be the beginning of this. And I said, Lord, why November 2020? Is it because of a president or something, you know? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, no, it's because of it's the culmination of a 400-year cycle. Yeah. Now, at that time in 2012 and 13, I was doing some stuff with Perry from time to time. I told Perry about a 400-year cycle. They started looking at it. Us, Bill Cloud, Perry, several prophecy teachers started studying together on this 400-year cycle, right? What we found out, everybody was like, there's no 400-year cycle. America hasn't been, it's not 400 years old. So I got to looking and I found out that the first legal document for the forming of the nation was the Mayflower Compact, which was signed in November, 400 years prior to November 2020, right? 400 years. So in November 2020, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is the culmination of a 400-year cycle. I didn't understand it. So I got to really looking and I found out that the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage for how many years? 400 years. Why did they have to stay in there 400 years? God gives you an explanation. He said, because he was waiting for the people who possessed the promised land, which were the Amorites. He said he was waiting on their iniquity to come to a full. So listen, we're going to be talking about judgment. I'm teaching how judgment works. God, in grace and mercy, will deal with people and a nation for a long. The Bible says God is long suffering. Listen, if God puts up with your stupidity for 400 years, I'd say he's a very patient God, right? So in the Bible, God is waiting on the Amorites, which are dwelling in the promised land, for their iniquity to reach a certain place it activated the justice of God, which demanded judgment. Okay? I don't have time to teach on that. Steve did a little bit of teaching on that the other night. So at 400 years, the iniquity of the Amorites came to the full. God judged the Amorites by, watch now, letting the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage to go in and dispossess the enemy, right? To take the land. So in, I believe, November 2020, politics, not politics, whatever, I don't care what you think about it. I believe November 2020, there was a climax of iniquity coming to a full. Something happened in 2020 that was big. Now, looking back, it's easy for us to say, well, man, the political atmosphere was crazy and the elections and all of that. I'm not so certain we need to get totally caught up on all of that, because that's just a drop in the bucket of what's really the issue is, okay? Now, again, we need to fight for liberty. We need to fight for our rights. We need to be vigilant about our nation. But what I'm trying to tell you on this, there's one thing, we have a responsibility, and this is really hard for me to do this because I don't teach like this. We have a responsibility nationally because we live in the nation. God let us be born here. And we're part of a republic, not a democracy. We are not a democracy. We are a republic that uses democracy as a tool, right? What's happening now is the republic is in danger because we have not utilized the tool of democracy. Now, I believe a lot of that is iniquity coming to the full. There's a threshold that is coming to the full. And I might not even get to my notes tonight. I'm feeling it. Right? Now, if that's the case, then November 2020 was more significant than any of us in this room could ever imagine. Now we have been plunged into chaos. I personally do not think another administration can fix it. We might buy time, but I don't know that it can be fixed, because I believe that we have crossed a threshold. There's a lot of reasons for this. Financially, we're almost $15 trillion in debt. $30 trillion in debt, and it's expanding quickly. So financially, we're past the point of no return as a nation. Morally, we're past the point of return in the nation. Spiritually, we're past the point of... So in every indicator that looks at why God judges a nation, at every indicator, we're past the point of no return. Now, inevitably, somebody's going to say, well, hold it, Pastor. What about revival in the land? So here's what I believe. I believe there's going to be churches and places within the country that are going to experience massive revival. But national revival can only happen when the national leaders humble themselves and repent, right? So, like, for example, Nineveh. Everybody says, well, God saved Nineveh. Yeah, he did. But if you go look at it, every leader, every human being, the whole nation. So here's... would you agree, it would be an absolute bona fide miracle of God if all of a sudden the president, his cabinet, the left and the right all took to Capitol Hill and was repenting for the sins of the nation and asking the whole nation to repent with them. My question is, what's the likelihood of that? Right? Now, my prayer is it'll happen. I have a right to pray for it. But being a realist, I don't know that it'll happen. Well, if it doesn't happen, then there is judgment, levels of judgment, and cycles of judgment that are going to come upon the nation. Y'all okay? Is it okay to talk like this? So there's cycles of judgment that will come upon the nation. All right. Back to my vision. I saw a lot of stuff. Everything I saw is happening right now, like in warp speed. Recently, you had China, Russia, Iran, and all of them who just formed a cooperation to buy and sell oil away from the American dollar. Other nations are jumping on board with that right now. So basically, that's going to leave Western Europe and North America. And when we say North America, we're not even talking about the South America. North America will be the only ones using the U.S. dollar. Now, folks, a lot of people don't comprehend what that means. We used to, when we... We used to back up the American dollar with the gold standard. So not far from here, there's a place in Kentucky called Fort Knox. And Fort Knox was filled with gold that was guarded all the time. And the dollar bill was sustained by the gold standard. That's what determined the value of a dollar bill. We changed that several decades ago. Now your money says legal tender. It used to say... It used to, you know, tell you it was backed up, but now it says legal tender. In other words, it's paper, right? So what holds the value of the dollar is everybody, the whole world has agreement that they purchase, buy, sell, trade oil with the American dollar. So if you now have Russia, China, and these Asiatic nations and the Arab nations who are forming a union where they buy, sell, trade oil away from the dollar, and we don't have gold that's holding up the value of the dollar, then what that does is implodes our dollar. Okay? What I'm trying to tell you is there's a lot going on. 2 weeks ago, 15 major world leaders all of a sudden resigned. Now, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the... I'm talking about major world leaders up and resigning their post. Just quitting. Does anybody see a problem with that?
Yeah.
Right? So there's something going on. Something's going on. It doesn't feel right. 2 weeks ago, this is, brings me to where I'm at right now. 2 weeks ago, I'm asleep. And I go in, I'm in deep sleep, like deep sleep. You know how when you're so dead to the world, you just, I mean, the trumpet could blow. And unless you hear it spiritually, you're not getting up. I'm talking about, I was dead to the world. I was wore out. I've been running for 4 or 5 days real hard. I was worn out. I went into this deep sleep. All of a sudden, and now I was dreaming. This was a dream. This was not a vision. I was dreaming. I came up off the couch like something was, you know how the Bible says Ezekiel, God grabbed Ezekiel by the hair of the head and pulled him up? Well, God didn't grab me by the hair of the head. Come on, somebody. Y'all be nice. That's ugly. That's ugly. It's ugly. But something grabbed me, and I started going up. And in my dream, I thought, what's going on? What's going on? In my dream, it was so vivid, like I'm talking to you right now, like I was awake. I was dreaming, but it was like I was awake. It was so vivid. I'm coming up. I go up into the sky, and the next thing I know, I start flying north. And I'm headed toward Washington, D.C. And I know in my heart, like in my spirit, I know where I'm headed, right? It's going to sound so weird, but I feel like the Lord wants me to tell this publicly. So I'm coming into Washington, D.C., and I can see the city lights. And I've been to Washington many times. So I can see the city lights, and I can see the Washington Monument. And all the lights coming up the Washington Monument. And I'm like, yeah, there's Washington. There's Washington. There's the Washington Monument. And I'm flying. I'm way up in the air, and I'm flying. It's like I'm floating toward it. I come around the Washington Monument, and there's people gathered on the lawn. There's people gathered out. I look toward the White House. There's people gathered toward the White House. And it's a lot of people. It wasn't just a handful. It was a lot of people. And so I'm thinking, what is this? And I'm looking, and I'm seeing all of this. And you know where the lake is there in front. The water pool's there in front. There's people gathered. And I fly like this, and then I realize, oh, they're inaugurating the new president. So I fly over like this, and I come around, and I can see the inauguration. And Jim Brown, as God is my witness, I could not see the face of the person that had their hand on the Bible. But they were doing a presidential inauguration. Couldn't see the face, but it was a woman. And I said to myself, that looks like a woman becoming president. As soon as I said that, I woke up. Well, I thought, maybe something I ate or don't know, but it was very disturbing to me. Like when I saw that it was a woman in the dream, it was like I had this holy terror come on me, like this is not a good thing. Right? I'm not against a woman being president, but I'm just saying, whoever this was, I had this feeling in my spirit, this is not a good thing. I couldn't see who it was, and I was looking to see. I was looking to see. The face was blurred out, but it was a woman. Hand on what looked like a Bible, taking the oath of office. So I woke up. I'm troubled by it. I think I get up and get a drink or something. I go back. I finally drift off back to sleep. I go back into this very heavy, deep sleep. All of a sudden, I'm caught up again. Same thing starts to happen. I know where I'm headed. I know where I'm going. And this time, I'm saying, I'm going back to the same place. And this time in the dream, I'm saying, the Lord's trying to show me something. You're trying to show me something. That's what I'm saying. You're trying to show me something. Right? So now I'm aware that I'm not just dreaming, but this. That God's showing me something, or at least that's the feeling. So I'm not saying that I believe it is God, but that's the feeling that I had. I take the same flight path. I see all the people again, the city lights, all of that. I come back over, and this woman has her hand on the Bible. She's taking the oath of office. Her face is blurred out like this right here. It's blurred. And the Lord said, and I said, not the Lord said, I said, that's a woman. And it was like a terror coming on me, like a heaviness coming on me for the nation. I said, that's a woman. And as soon as I said it, I woke up again on the couch. Now, the Bible says you test every prophecy. So I'm not going to say God said. I'm just going to tell you what I felt and what I saw. And if it happens, you can say I was there Wednesday night when Pastor shared it. I believe something's getting ready to happen. And either Kamala or Pelosi is getting ready to be put into office. Now, I don't know what that is. That something is. But I believe something is getting ready to happen. Okay? Now, I told Pam, and I think I've told one or two pastors, and I've just kept it to myself. I thought about going on TikTok and all this stuff, but now I'm thought, nah, I'm just, if I share it, I'm going to share it with my church. The pastors I've told said, this, you're crazy. If this happens, I'm leaving America. And so anyway, that's So this morning, Pastor Steve and I was having coffee because he's getting ready to go to Africa. And I told him, I said, Steve, I got to tell you about this dream I had. I told him about the dream. He said, well, Pastor, that lines up. Do you remember a couple months ago you had a prophecy or a word from the Lord that Jezebel was about to step out of the shadows, but the Lord said, do not fear. Do y'all remember that in the service that morning? It was a real prophetic atmosphere. Something is getting ready to happen in the nation. And I want you to prepare yourself. Now, I'm telling you what I believe. I believe that if they indict Trump, it'll cause riots. I believe if something happens to President Biden, it will also cause riots. There is such division in the nation right now at every level. The only thing that's going to stop what I'm talking about is the holy divine intervention of God Himself. That's it. And I really battled tonight of whether I was supposed to share this. I've kept it for several weeks in my spirit. But something's getting ready to happen in the nation. We need to be praying. We need to be praying and asking God to have mercy upon our nation. Now, the reason I think something's happening is because you have a culmination of all these things that I saw. You have also these world leaders stepping aside left and right. You have economic turmoil in almost every major nation group in the world. You have the global reset on the horizon because nations are in such physical debt they can't get out of it. There are 50 plus warships, Chinese warships, that have surrounded Taiwan. For those of you who are watching, I'm just going to turn my microphone off so you hear it and they don't hear it, okay? So just be patient. So what I'm trying to tell us is we have to get spiritually right with God. Because the only thing that's going to shift anything is a move of the Spirit of the Lord. It's already obvious. We've got a political problem. We're exactly where the prophet Zechariah was. right? We're exactly where he was. We have no political answer. We have no military answer. We have no financial answer. And here's God's response. When you don't have all that, here's what he said to him. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That is the only answer. What burdens me is the church came through COVID and is playing more games now than they were before we ever went into COVID. So let's bow our heads. Can we do that? Lord Jesus, you know whether what I've said is truth or not. If it is, Lord, bear witness of it and show us things to come so that we're not caught off guard by what is coming. Prepare us prophetically. Not so that we can just sit on our hunkers and just wait for you to come, but so that we can occupy the land and the space until you come. Prepare us, Lord. And right now, Father, we pray that you would send warring angels that would tear down the principalities and powers and the spiritual wickedness in high places that is dividing the land politically, morally, spiritually, ethically, in every way, every division. Father, we pray, send forth warring angels. Yes, Lord. Send forth warring angels. Hallelujah. I need everybody to pray in the Holy Ghost for a second. Adam, come here. Come on, let's pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment. When I said that, the Lord spoke to me. Father, we need a move of the Holy Ghost. We need you to fill us so full of the Spirit of God that we're running over with power from on high. Not our natural power, but supernatural power from on high. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Lord, we pray for you to invade the White House with your presence. We pray, Lord, that the scales on Biden's eyes would fall off. Father, you touch Nebuchadnezzar, you can touch President Biden right now. So God, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, your spirit right now would invade the White House where he's at. And that, Lord, something would begin to turn in his heart, turn in his mind. In the name of Jesus. Lord, all of the cabinet members, all of those who are sitting in high positions of authority, people who are making decisions and behind closed doors that nobody else sees. Holy Spirit, we ask you to get in there and intervene. Break through in our nation, we pray in Jesus' name. We pray for Congress. We pray for Republicans and Democrats alike. We pray, Holy Ghost, if they don't know you, that, Lord, you would put convicting power upon them, that they would find no rest, that they would find no peace until they turn their hearts toward heaven. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let your kingdom come in America as it is in heaven. We want your will, your kingdom to come in America as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right, take your Bible out and go to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, and I want to show you something. Look at verse 17. Everybody look right here first. Let me give you the background. Nebuchadnezzar, the children of Israel have been in captivity for 70 years because of their disobedience. Judgment came, carried them away into Babylon for 70 years, right? Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And in this dream, he sees this image. Head of gold, and it comes down, just different metals. And basically this image, without me going into too much detail, is representative of empires. The head is the Babylonian Empire, which Nebuchadnezzar is the king. Right? The shoulders are the Medo-Persian Empire, which Cyrus would be the king of. Then you come down to the Grecian Empire, which Alexander the Great would have been the king of. But then we reach into two legs, which is the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had an Eastern division and a Western division. The Western division's in Rome, the Eastern division's in Turkey. Two legs, that's reason two legs. But then it goes down into the feet. The feet is iron and clay, and it has 10 toes. This is the revived Roman Empire that has culminated into 10 major nations. Recently, as late as a month ago, the world was broken up into 10 major financial divisions. 10. Daniel later sees out of these 10 toes a little horn coming up. The little horn is the Antichrist. Now, folks, we know the Babylonian Empire gave way to the Medo-Persian Empire. The Medo-Persian gave way to the Grecian Empire. The Grecian Empire gave way to the Roman Empire. Now the Roman Empire has given way to the revived Roman Empire. So the toes represent the day in which we live. We're living in the toes. Right? So within these toes, the Antichrist comes up. He's insignificant. He'll come out of nowhere. He's totally insignificant. He comes out of nowhere. Right? All right. Daniel sees all this. He's trying to get an interpretation of it. Nebuchadnezzar sees all this rather. Daniel's trying to get an interpretation of this. And God shows Daniel what I just told you. Daniel now has to go to the king. Imagine Daniel's predicament. Has to go to the king. And he has to say to the king, I hate to tell you, judgment is coming on the Babylonians for what you did to the children of Israel. And you're going to be taken over by the Medo-Persian Empire. Cyrus is coming. Judgment's coming. You understand what he's telling you. So one of the dreams that Nebuchadnezzar has is he sees this tree cut down, this huge tree that was taller than all the other trees. And it's cut down and it falls. And he's like, what is the tree? And Daniel is having to tell Nebuchadnezzar, that is God cutting you down. Because God raises up kings and he disposes kings. That is God cutting you down. I would hate to be Daniel telling that king that. Right? So anytime you say you want to be a prophet, think about that. Everybody with me? Nebuchadnezzar's like, why is this happening? I'm the king. Don't you know who I am? So Daniel tells him why it's happening. Look at Daniel 4:17. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the Holy One, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he wills and sets over it the lowest of men. Look at this. This decision is by the decree of the watchers. Watchers there is a word for angels. So in other words, a decree went out that caused these angels to have to move. The angels came down and cut Nebuchadnezzar down. And he says, why did the angels move like that? He said, this decision is by the decree of the watchers. Watch now. And the sentence or the declaration was by the word of the holy ones. Holy ones is righteous people. So within Babylon captivity, toward the end of the 70 years, what happened is you had Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach. I was just making see if y'all. As well as lots of other righteous people who were carried away into Babylonian captivity. And the Bible says they got frustrated being in captivity. So what they started doing is praying. This sentence is by the word of the holy ones. So the holy ones, the righteous, are in captivity and they're praying and they're making declarations. And literally they're saying, God, cut Nebuchadnezzar down. God, cut Nebuchadnezzar down. They're praying like this. And the Bible says that they're praying like this. Their prayer goes into the heavens and God dispatches angels, the watchers, to go answer their prayers. You don't think prayer is important? What I'm trying to tell you, if it broke the captivity of Babylon, can it break the captivity of America? When we pray, God dispatches angels into our nation, into our home, into our city, right? So we're going to do it one more time. We're going to pray again. I need everybody who's full of the Holy Ghost to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. If you're not, you can just pray in English. I don't care. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, cut down the wickedness of our nation like you did Nebuchadnezzar. That great tree falling, the most powerful man in the known world. You cut him down because somebody prayed. Lord, in the captivity of America, we pray every wicked thing be cut down in the name of Jesus. That our nation would be saved. Let every wicked thing in Cookeville be cut down. Let every wicked thing in Sparta be cut down. Let every wicked thing in Gainesboro be cut down. In Livingston be cut down. In Monterey and in Crossville. Lord, in every surrounding area, let every wicked thing be cut down. In the name of Jesus. Let the sexual perversion that's trying to come into our city be cut down in Jesus' name. Let the witchcraft that's trying to come into our city be cut down in Jesus' name. Let the twisted educational agenda that is trying to come in our city be cut down in Jesus' name. Let liberal politics that is trying to invade our city be cut down in Jesus' name. We claim this land for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We refuse to give it up. So, Lord, again, we say dispatch warring angels right now. Dispatch warring angels. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And here's what the word says. The word says if we ask anything in his name according to his will, he hears us. Not only he hears us, he answers us, and we get the petitions of which we have asked him for. Now, did we pray anything right there out of the will of God? No, everything we pray is in the will of God. So how about let's do this. Let's stand up tonight. And can we give God a praise for answering every prayer we just prayed right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Well, just hold on to your notes. I don't know when we'll get to them. I'm kind of got a mind next Wednesday night just have prayer service. Y'all want to do that? How about next Wednesday night? Let's do some very strategic prayer points, and we're just going to have a prayer service. We'll need to be praying for Steve. He leaves Monday to go to Africa, so we can put that on the agenda. Huh? He leaves this Monday, this coming Monday. Yep. So does that feel good to everybody? How about let's just next week we're going to have a prayer service next Wednesday. So worship team, y'all kind of structure around that. I love you. I'm sorry I didn't get into the message tonight. I fully intended, but I'm glad we went the way we did, right? Amen. All right, y'all get out of here. Go home. You'll get to the restaurant early tonight. Love you guys. I'll see you Sunday morning.